This celebration of the nativity of John the Baptist is an ancient feast, began in the 4th century in the East, in Constantinople, nowadays Istanbul. That's where the Eastern Church was centered. The Western Church was centered in Rome. Rome was a kind of an outpost in those days. The real culture and everything was centralized economically and politically and everything in the East. So the church really flourished there first, and Rome kind of picked up on it secondhand. So like so many of the feasts in the church, this originates in the East. And there, then and now, they celebrate this feast on the day after the baptism of the Lord. John the Baptist baptizes the Lord in the Jordan River, and so the next day we celebrate his feast, the feast of his birth. But in the West, by about the 5th century, it got transferred to today, June 24th. And the rationale there was, in the Luke's Gospel, in the announcement to Mary, it says that Elizabeth is already in her 6th month. And so there's a 6 months distance between the two births, and so we put it at June 24th, which is close to June 25th, you know, calendar year. But there's an interesting thing that was always celebrated here, and that is this feast happens right after the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, and from that day on, the days get shorter and shorter all the way to the winter solstice, where they start getting longer again. And John, in John's gospel, says, I must decrease so that he might increase. So we celebrate the decrease of John the Baptist because the days are getting shorter. And at Christmas time, we'll celebrate the increase of Christ because the days start getting longer from the winter solstice on. That's one of the unique things about John the Baptist, is this close association with Jesus, the Messiah, and yet not being the Messiah. And in the Gospels, we see where people are confused. You know, is John the Baptist the Messiah, or is it Jesus? And John himself seems to be discerning that in his public ministry, wondering if what people are saying about him might be true, that maybe he is the Messiah. And that ambiguity has always been celebrated in the church. And so one of the points that we want to get out of this feast day that we celebrate today is that even now, are we celebrating in our lives and in our evangelistic ministry, in our proclaiming the gospel, the good news that salvation is here, are we proclaiming John the Baptist, or are we becoming John, heralding and pointing to the real Messiah, Jesus? The ministry of John primarily was to point to Jesus. In John's gospel, he says to one of his own disciples, look, there goes the Lamb of God. So he announces, he heralds the good news. Jesus is the good news. So for us, are we heralds of the good news, or are we members of the body of Christ and, in a sense, are the good news? And the answer is yes. It's both and. That first reading comes from one of the suffering servant psalms of Isaiah. And those suffering servant psalms, the Christian tradition has always associated with Christ. And so during Holy Week, we read three of those suffering servant psalms. The suffering servant originally refers to Isaiah himself as the prophet who suffers, whose ministry is difficult, who is unappreciated and reviled. And that makes sense. But the Christian tradition has also seen that is fulfilled in John the Baptist and in Christ. They both suffer for heralding the good news and becoming the good news. Jesus and John both suffer martyrdom. Jesus through crucifixion, John through beheading. And so, again, there's that wonderful ambiguity. Who is the suffering servant? Is it Isaiah? Is it John? Is it Jesus? Is it you and me? We all, in a sense, take on that suffering servant model. Now, today we celebrate the nativity of John the Baptist. And this is not a birthday. You know, a birthday celebrates the anniversary of a birth. So we might say, okay, if John were alive, he would be 2,100 and some years old. But that's not what we're celebrating by a nativity, liturgically. We are celebrating the birth itself. We are celebrating that ambiguity that's always in the liturgy about time. For God, there is no time. God exists outside of time. And so, therefore, we're celebrating here the timelessness of God, the intervening history between then and now melts away. And so today John is born. Today Jesus is born. Today Christ dies. Today he comes again. You know, from the beginning to the end, it's all falls into one moment. It's all now. And so if the birth of John the Baptist is today, then our birth in Christ is today. Our baptism, for many of us, happened many years ago, but it's always today. That's why we sign ourselves in the baptismal water every time we enter a Catholic church, because our baptism is not back then, it's today. And we celebrate the today-ness of the Eucharist, because the 2,000 years intervening between the Last Supper and this Mass dissipates. This is the Last Supper. The intervening years between now and the realization of the fullness of the kingdom at the end, those years melt away. This is the heavenly banquet. This is the meal of the kingdom. We enter into the timelessness of God, and therefore the timelessness of our own being. That today is the day of our salvation. Today is the day of our baptism. Today is the day of our incorporation into Christ and the fullness of our joining him in heaven forever. All of that is today. That's a marvelous mystery that gives us the courage to be heralds. It gives us the courage, the resolve to become the body of Christ, to take on the very mission and ministry of John and Jesus, to recognize in joy that our salvation is already won for us on the cross, that Christ is here among us, and that we can be as much heralds of the gospel as John was.